Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Into the Night, first Monday in April. Feeling good? Feeling a little refreshed? I know a lot of you out there probably in the same boat, perhaps too refreshed, thinking, boy, I wish I could get back to the office. Wish I could get back to some sort of normalcy. The kids, I love them, but they're driving me absolutely crazy. Maybe the wife as well. Hey, listen, I don't know. I'm just merely asking. Anyway, good to be back. Couple of minutes past six. Believe with you tonight till eight. Crazy week. I mean, I had a vacation scheduled forever. I was supposed to go to the Dominican Republic and play golf. Obviously, that got canned, and I was like, well, should I take the time away anyway? I had some personal business I needed to take care of. It's an unusual trip away. I really didn't do much of anything. A little bit of soul-searching, a lot of praying, and I'm usually not a guy who does that or at least publicly talks about it, despite my full-out Catholicism. Having it rammed down my throat as a child in the suburbs of Boston. It was kind of the in thing, kind of the chic thing, you know, to be a Catholic. Enough of that nonsense. I'm not going to talk any more about religion. I'm not going to mix politics in as well. I'm not going to do it. Even though the president of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump, I thought gave us some great news when he stated that he expects the NFL to return on time. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with sharing some goodness during such a horrible time, such a world crisis. And so it was really unusual for me. All people say, hey, what'd you do? I mean, what'd you do? I mean, I was supposed to go to Dominican Republic, then get up my old roommate down in Miami, play golf, this and that. Then I was going to get with my brother in Tampa, play golf down there. Then I was going to go to stream. So I didn't do anything. I didn't leave Jacksonville. Practice social distancing, kept Miller Lite in business individually, okay, but just mixed in a little bit of golf. And I will say this, golf is an essential as far as I am concerned, and I'm not being a smartass. For middle-aged men and older, it is an opportunity for them to get out in exercise. I have noticed that a lot of folks are walking the golf course. It is great exercise. And when I played, you were in individual carts. All right. Jack's Beach had a chance to get out there for the first time since they've redone it. What a phenomenal golf course. Public course. Remember at Southampton, thoroughly enjoyed myself there. Played a couple of private course out in St. Augustine, Marsh Creek. Tremendous time. Right in front of me was Steve Spurrier and Bob Stoops, who both, I'm told, live in Crescent Beach. Right in front of us. Spurrier was playing two balls. Spurrier needs a mulligan. Not only the 1996 National Championship mulligan, but he needs a mulligan on the golf course. I saw Spurrier playing two balls. That's just the way he played golf. Bob Stoops, only one. Yeah, even on vacation, I remain somewhat of a reporter. All right, so anyway, an interesting week. Good to be back. I mean, seriously, it's awful. It is. I'm a numbers guy, and I don't like to say it that way, but I have spent a tremendous amount of time daily, literally hourly, tracking numbers, looking at percentages when it comes to active cases throughout this pandemic, and Florida is ahead of the curve, particularly here in North Florida. Really ahead of the curve. And I know that there were some folks that were down about the way things were on the beach. I typically go to Michler's and I love it. And, you know, our mayor, who I had on the radio, you know, when he announced that things were being shut down, he had to shut down the beaches as well. There was a little bit of abuse there. People weren't doing it the right way. They weren't practicing social distancing. I think that there's a little bit of a feeling out there, particularly with the younger generation, that, hey, I can't get it. And if I do get it, my system is good enough to get it, handle it, and burn it and get rid of it. And, you know, you looked at South Florida, the spring break and all that stuff. I'm not going to blame Generation Z. You shouldn't blame the millennials. They're too old now. If they're still on spring break, they are John Belushi going to college for 7 years. I mean, that's nuts. So blaming the millennials is out. You want to blame Generation Z? Fine. But the numbers are down. Look at the percentage of cases here and deaths here. And it's far better than the country's average. So I think our listeners and the people here throughout North Florida have responded in a very positive way. I think early on, maybe folks weren't taking this as seriously as they should have, and they are now, and they're doing the right things, keeping themselves clean, staying away from one another, you know, abiding by the rules while still attempting to live your life. I know in my neighborhood, Bartram Springs, man, it is just incredible to see the people that are out there exercising, you know, walking the dog, doing whatever. But they're doing it in the right way. It's one or two people, you know, staying away from mass groupings. And I guess that's the best advice that I can give you at this point. I have been overly positive throughout all of this. And this is supposed to be the peak week. This is supposed to be the worst of it all. The numbers are going to increase. The numbers are going to grow, and it's going to get worse. And I just hope that next Monday when I come back here, we are beginning to hit a decline. And then things will flatten out. And then obviously, once we get into May, things begin to take a serious turn for the better. And hopefully by the time we get to the middle of the summer in June and July, things really start rolling back to the way that they are supposed to be, which does include the return of sports. The PGA Tour today. Folks, this is a great sign. Now, it's subject to change, and I get that. But the fact that the PGA Tour today came out and said that the memorial will take place in mid-June, to me, is an outstanding thing. Okay? Finally. We're told that a sporting event is going to return. It's mid-June. Jack Nicklaus's golf course in Ohio, the memorial. Now, no fans will be there. That's understandable. And frankly, I think that's the way it should be, at least early on. So the PGA Tour announces mid-June, the memorial. First week of August, the PGA Championship. Actually, it'll be the second week of August. That event will begin on Thursday, August 6th. The United States Open, September 17th. The Ryder Cup, September 25th. And the Masters, the week of November 9th. This was supposed to be Masters Week. I mean, this is one of the greatest weeks of the year if you are a sports fan. I mean, we're in the NBA playoffs. We're almost there. We're in the NHL playoffs. You have the national championship game tonight in college basketball. You have pro days going on all across campuses throughout the United States with interviews going on with NFL teams. You have baseball deep into their second week. And, of course, you have the first major of the 2020 season, the year after Tiger Woods came back and won a green jacket after several years without winning a major. I mean, this would have been one of the greatest weeks of the sports calendar. I know that says a lot in these parts because football reigns supreme, but still. So there's an empty feeling, and I understand. Hey, listen, I miss it as much as you do. But again, I'm looking for something that's encouraging out there. The PGA Tour stepped up to the plate today by announcing some dates. We're not going to get the British Open, and that's disappointing. Okay? I mean, hey, we lost a lot. What's next? Is the NBA going to respond? Is the NHL going to respond? When are we going to hear from Major League Baseball? And I think at this point, the PGA Tour did it exactly the right way, and I would expect those other sports to follow suit. And it sounds a little bit like this. Let's bring back the games, but at least for the time being, you got to do it with no fans. You have to. But at least get sports rolling again. So I know that there is a lot of thumbs down. There's a lot of doom and gloom. To a much more serious point, we have lost a lot of people, and we're going to lose more. But again, do the research. Look at the numbers. I mean, I think North Florida has done a nice job, and that's all up to you. That's up to you how seriously you have taken this and what you are able to give up. You know, things that you do daily. You're not able to do that right now. It's a difficult time for us all. But I can see the light. I can. And I like this today with the PGA Tour. All right, also announced today was the NFL Draft. We have some new language involved with that. I'll get to that as well on the other side. We'll also hear from my buddy Greg Huntington. Coming up at the bottom of the hour is Huntington, who joins me here often, will break down a few things with us involved with Unique Ngakoue, who, my gosh, was he ever busy during my week off. I mean, I have so much respect for Unique Ngakoue. But what is he doing during this pandemic? And, you know, I understand wanting yours. And just because there is a pandemic doesn't mean that Unique Ngakoue shouldn't get his. I'm not saying that. But, man, he handled himself like such an incredible professional. Didn't say anything. Now he's doing whatever it takes to try to get himself out of town. So we'll talk about that as well. So we got a lot to do right here on a Monday night. Good to have you back with us. My name is Rick Ballew. This is 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's going to be good to have you back with us, I guess I should say. Blah! See what happens when you're sober once again there, RJ Saunders?
Start losing what, all train of thought?
Yeah. During this pandemic, a lot of bad things are happening, and that includes a lot of mom and pop places around the First Coast, and I just got a text from the 7368, and I actually heard about it last week as well, but the Rooster is closing.
What was the Rooster?
It's a biker bar. Bought a RJ Saunders driver in three wood from my house out in Bartram Springs. It's the pride of Bayard, and apparently they did not renew the lease. I know he was a Boston guy, the owner, and that's it. I've heard of a couple of other places that are staples here within the city that apparently are going down as well. I'm not going to mention that until I know for sure, but the Rooster, that's disappointing. It is. So, yeah, you know, a lot of places, there are going to be some changes, no question about it. And there's one right there that, you know, I would think that a lot of folks out there probably just drove by it. Maybe you were intimidated by it. You thought, oh, my God, bikers. You know, I can't go in there. And every time I ever went in, I always had a real fun time. I thought that the patrons were nice. And I always kind of looked at it as bark but no bite. I mean, I think they're kind of like weekend riders. Like, I'm a weekend golf hacker. And, you know, again, they're performing open heart surgery on Monday. But they're riding their Harley Davidson on a Saturday or Sunday. So, anyway, disappointed to hear that. I imagine many more announcements similar to that are coming here in Jacksonville and throughout the United States because of what is happening. Today would have been the start of the off-season workouts for teams with new head coaches. So, you know, you look at Matt Rhule, who obviously what he did at Baylor and taking over in Carolina, Ron Rivera leaving Carolina, going to Washington, D.C., Kevin Stefanski, it's kind of a yearly operation in Cleveland. I mean, they handled what? A short order cook a year ago. I can't even remember his name. The Cleveland Browns coach from last year, who had one season, one and done. The guy would cook four burgers, serve two, and then eat two. Freddie Kitchens, that's right, the former Alabama quarterback. Again, to me, he always looked like a short order cook. Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. Mike McCarthy, of course, sat a year out, back in now in Dallas. So you would have had all of these coaches actually getting an opportunity today to be involved in off-season workouts. Today was supposed to be the start of all that. And I love this stuff for the Jaguars. I've always said it. You're never going to hear me complain about training camp and 100-degree days and mid-90-degree days. I love all the access that we get, whether it's OTAs, whether it's rookie minicamp, whether it's voluntary workouts, whatever. I've always enjoyed that part of the season for the Jaguars, and it's really kind of twofold. Number one, I love the game. I love to go out and watch what's happening. Number two, it's always filled with a lot of promise. You know, there's not an end result, which unfortunately for this organization typically ends with an L. When you're watching practice, you get out of there, you feel better about what's going on. Probably won't find a lot of members of the media will admit it now, but their first look at Nick Foles and everything he did the entire offseason on that practice field was very, very promising. And the guy gets hurt, as we know, during his 11th snap, and the rest is history. No longer part of this football team. But I've always really enjoyed the offseason with the Jags. You know, this month is supposed to be a busy one with our opportunity to meet with Dave Caldwell and meet with Doug Marrone talking about the NFL draft. I don't know if we'll have that opportunity this year. My guess would be, if so, it's going to be conference call related. Okay, the NFL draft, it has now officially come down. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the league, stating now it's going to be fully virtual. What does that mean? Who knows? The draft is going to be taking place from folks' homes. That's my understanding. Dave Caldwell from his home. His staff, you know, they're going to set up, they're going to be able to coordinate, logistically speaking, with the internet, their cell phones, and whatever other type of equipment they have. How is this going to happen? How is their board going to look? How is the communication going to go during the draft this year? And what's it going to look like when ESPN, the National Football League Network, actually covered? I'm not looking at it as a downer. No way. Again, I'm looking at it as something new. I actually praise them for continuing to have this. I mean, we're in desperate need of anything right now to discuss in the world of sports. As far as something that is ongoing in sports, there's always plenty to talk about. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to separate the two. I never have had a concern when it comes to what am I going to talk about tonight as far as what's on tap in sports. There's always plenty of topics. There's always a tremendous amount of subjects. But I like the fact that the draft is staying on the regular scheduled time, because in this city, that's what you need most. And you get it in 2 weeks and a couple of days. But fully virtual, I mean, how weird is that going to be? Instead of bringing in all these first-round draft selections and walking them out on stage and putting on the hat and showing them the jersey and all of that great stuff that, you know, we've lived and become such a fan of, loving the NFL draft. I used to love it on Saturday and Sunday. Still like it better than I do now with the Thursday night first round, then continuing with the second round and third round on a Friday night. Just my opinion. Then again, I'm not a huge fan of change. I like the fact this year that they didn't make a change. Well, I guess they did, didn't they? Making it fully virtual. I can't imagine how just out of the ordinary, perhaps awkward, but also somewhat exciting this is going to end up being. So again, I like that the NFL is doing it. General managers, those involved with the draft process, privately, are not happy about this. They feel like they're going into an incredibly difficult decision that they have to make as an organization without the proper opportunity to get all the information that they need. You know, that ability to bring players into their own building is huge. And, you know, you talk about due diligence and what were they able to actually put together during the college football Saturday, the information they received from their scouts. What did they get out of the East-West Shrine? What did they get out of the Senior Bowl if players were there? And, you know, maybe a few first-rounders there. Not a ton. That's deeper into the draft. Certainly the NFL Combine, much more fluent, much more of an opportunity to look at the best overall prospects in the draft. But I think it's a fair playing field. And if you look what was written today in the NFL coming out, and Roger Goodell said that, you know, let's make this fully virtual, that, you know, club personnel will be located in separate locations. They'll be able to communicate with one another in draft headquarters by phone or internet. He wants this to be consistent in a fair way. And he believes right now that despite the limitations that teams have, it is a fair playing field for all 32 NFL organizations. We'll see. And only time will tell. The Jaguars have a tremendous amount of draft capital. 12 picks, talking about adding even more. Trading down from number 9. I know a few articles have been written on that as of late. Albert Breer, who we'll have on soon, I've known Albert forever, saying the Jags are really in a situation where their trade could be a trade partner at number 9. The ability to move out, move down. Dave Cobble has never moved down in the first round. Is this a year that he does it? Even though he's already got 12 draft picks. Yannick Ngakoue, I'm going to get into a little bit later on during the program, but there's a couple of reports out there that the New York Giants are interested. Trade Yannick Ngakoue for 2 future second-round draft picks to the New York Giants? That's the 36th pick this year. You're going to get yourself a real good football player at number 36. And that's the 4th pick in the second round. A future pick in 2021, a second rounder. Do you do that for Yannick Ngakoue, who is doing whatever it takes to get himself thrown out of Jacksonville? You know, Doug Marrone made the quote, and Doug Marrone was on, listen to him last week, talk about the direction of this football team. And one of the major points that I got out of his conversation with the local media was when he said he didn't want any drama on the team this year. He wants to have people on the same page. Last year was a disaster. And I thought Doug Marrone did a very good job holding the organization together, starting with the Telvin Smith announcement, all the way through Jalen Ramsey, and everything else that happened. And I've heard people even to this day say, well, despite everything, it wasn't a huge distraction for the Jaguars, and they did a great job through it all. Well, I don't know how you can determine that when you win 6 games. To me, distraction, a big part of that is the end result. And a big part of that is wins and losses. There have been teams, look at the Bronx Zoo from 78 with the Yankees. Look at Charlie Finley's clubs who won it in 72, 73, and 74. And with the Oakland A's, they couldn't stand one another. All right? I grew up in Boston in the mid-70s, so they were very successful. They had 25 players, 25 cab rides home. Remember all those stories? Guys didn't get along with one another. Distractions? Yeah, but they were winning. Sox let a bloop Joe Morgan single beat him in Game 7 of arguably the greatest World Series of all time, and then they collapsed in 78. Because Mike Torres grooved an 85-mile-an-hour fastball to Bucky effing Dent. Why are you making me bring up Bucky Dent during my return to the program tonight, RJ Saunders?
On this edition of Open Wounds on Into the Night.
All right, but you look at the Bronx Zoo. You had, what, Cliff Johnson fighting Goose Gossage. Reggie Jackson saying he's the straw that stirs the drink. The Captain Thurman Munson going. Everyone, Billy Martin fighting, I mean, with Reggie. Those distractions are overlooked because you win. So just because there wasn't public outbursts, just because we didn't see a table get flipped, just because there wasn't situations where the media was challenged, like Jalen challenged it a year prior during training camp, just because there wasn't any, you know, significant situations that you could point to and you could say you had great leadership in the locker room and guys like Calais Campbell handled it. And even Yannick Ngakoue was the consummate professional during the 2019 season. Is it fair to say that there were no distractions when you win six games? To me, that's end result. So I think Marone did a real good job holding it together. But again, only won six games. And he did it with a sixth-round rookie quarterback. I'm not forgetting that. But Marone doesn't want any distractions on this year's team. Well, you bring back, you allow this Yannick Ngakoue situation to continue to grow. It is absolutely going to provide a distraction because the media is going to ask and ask and ask and ask. And they have to ask. It's their job. It's my job. You have to ask. You can't go without asking. And we say, oh, if the media didn't ask. Hey, listen, don't blame the media. They're doing their job. Anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later on. Let's bring on Greg Huntington. He's from Advanced Disposal, one of our proud sponsors here for a very long time on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, and a huge part of Into the Night with Rick Ballew. Let's bring back one of the 10 original Jacksonville Jaguars. Talk to Greg about a couple of issues with this football team, that, of course, being the Jags. All of that's coming up right here as we go into the night.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's bring in the Mangler. He is Greg Huntington, one of the 10 original Jaguars. Of course, he is a big part of Advanced Disposal, one of our proud sponsors here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, the home of the Jaguars. Mangler, how are you?
I'm doing excellent, Rick, but having a week off of the truth teller is not a good thing. So I know you need your vacation, but I need my truth teller at night.
Yeah, it was a fun time. It was a, you know, it was a nice little getaway, but there's no place I'd rather be, except perhaps maybe 100 yards out with a nice soft wedge than right here tonight.
Fair enough. That's fair enough.
You played well, by the way, the other day, Huntington. I mean, you're known as a mauler and a guy that destroys the golf ball, but your short game was rather impressive.
You know what? You're right. I just kind of found those, you know, how they talk about having those soft hands where I wasn't gripping the club too hard, and I was able to make some touch shots around the green. Mm-hmm. So I was happy about that. So the golf game's improving, which that's always a good thing.
And we exercise, of course, four different cards, so social distancing. Even when we had conversations, you know, on the green, you know, we remained 6 feet apart from one another.
We know we did. We did a phenomenal job there. I like the four carts. I think everybody should do that going forward because it speeds up the round.
I agree.
We did maintain a 6 feet distance. We laid the ground rules, never touch another man's ball. Or out of courtesy, hand him his club because all those things. So we abided by all that. And so it was a great day. Jacksonville Beach Municipal Course was in great shape. Both you and I agree. We had a blast. A forgiving course and a fun course at the same time. You know?
Yeah. I was really blown away by it. It's the first time I've been out there, and firmly enjoyed it, and look forward to getting back there in the very near future. All right, Greg, Advanced Disposal. Listen, this is a difficult time we've had because of the pandemic. We've had a lot of folks who are out of work. A lot of folks have lost their job. We have said it forever here. Advanced Disposal is always hiring. Very competitive pay, outstanding benefits, and that continues right here today.
Yeah, that's true. You know, during this whole COVID-19 and the pandemic, obviously your frontline people, your doctors, your nurses, your EMTs, your firefighters, and your police, and God bless them. I know we're not New York, but we still have confirmed cases here and some deaths. So with our workforce, we still have been business as usual. We have still been collecting all lines of garbage, household garbage, recyclables, yard debris, and even some bulk items. Now we do have some effect on our workforce with people that have at-risk people at their house, so they've elected to stay home, which is fine and completely understandable. But through it, other than those frontline people, really we're the second line, and that is, you know, providing these critical environmental services. I mean, if the trash gets left on the ground, well, now you got another problem. So I've just been so impressed with our employees. I mean, you know, you hear the acronym PPE so much, personal protective equipment. And our employees in our industries we're already employing those measures. All of our guys and gals, they're wearing gloves, they're wearing safety glasses. You know, we have eliminated certain things like a daily huddle that we might have. You know, one thing I didn't think about, but it's true. It's like a biometric time clock where now, you know, you go in to put, you know, check in for work and you use your thumbprint. Well, not so good right now. So they've had to adjust. But overall, we've really been out there. And, you know, as you know, I came in, I ran a new ad just to say, hey, when you see your local garbage person, coming to pick up your household garbage or your commercial garbage, give them a wave and a thumbs up. I mean, that makes their day. That they're providing a very important service here for all of us in Northeast Florida and companies like us. I mean, I work for Advanced Disposal, but I'll throw out Waste Pro, I'll throw out Republic, I'll throw out Waste Management. As other companies that do the same thing we do, we're all in this together. We may compete against each other, but at the same time, we're all on the same team and providing these critical services for residents.
Yeah, no doubt. Often overlooked, but as you pointed out, I mean, if your garbage, your trash is not picked up, think about how much more of a mess things actually would be. Now, Greg, you're hiring today. I mean, again, there are people that are home. They have cabin fever. They don't know what to do. This is an open job right now at Advanced Disposal. You need a CDL driver's license, but again, plenty of opportunity for folks right now to take advantage of this and get things rolling as early as tomorrow.
Yeah, this is true. And, you know, even before this pandemic, we had a shortage of CDL drivers, commercial driver's license, to be able to drive our garbage trucks. So we're always looking to hire drivers, we're looking to hire helpers, we're looking to hire essential staff. So it's just as simple as people going on to advanceddisposal.com/careers. And you can see on there where the jobs are available. I mean, you know, we have operations in Callahan, we have operations off Normandy Boulevard, we have operations off of Phillips Highway, we have operations down at the near the World Golf Village. So we have a lot of operations that are always looking for quality people, even in these difficult times.
The Mangler is Greg Huntington. He is with Advanced Disposal, joining Rick Ballew right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, a couple of quick things with the Jags now since the last time we had you on here to talk about Jaguar football. Nick Foles has since been traded, and, you know, it's Gardner Minshew's team now. With all of this draft capital, Greg, and, you know, with an opportunity to maybe get an Andy Dalton, a Jameis Winston, a Cam Newton, you going in either one of those two directions, or are you leaving it all now with Minshew as he gets ready for his second season?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely leaving it in the Minshew camp. Maybe I'll get some pushback for this. I'm happy for overall with, you know, how the Nick Foles thing, you know, worked out for him on a personal basis. Obviously, he went through it was just a bad set of circumstances here in Jacksonville. I was always a big fan. If he had never gotten hurt, could things have been different? Who knows? But, you know, for us to be able to trade him to the Bears and, you know, eliminate some of that money going forward, I think I played with the Bears after the Jaguars. The Bears fans that I talked to are kind of optimistic about having him. But I think here, you know, the focus is on Minshew. You know, he won 6 games as a rookie. And everywhere he's been, be it in college, he's always kind of risen to the occasion. And so why not give him this year that seemingly seems or feels like a rebuilding year, which I'm fine with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give him, you know, the sense of security and confidence that you're our guy. And let's see what you can do and put pieces around them. I mean, I think you need to improve, obviously, the offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yannick Ngakoue, you know, has handled himself, I thought, this past year. He was such a professional. He never said a word, even when asked. His only focus was to go out there and play football. Now, the last couple of weeks, he has, you know, completely gone the other way. He's taken advantage of social media to do whatever it takes to ask himself out of town. Doug Marrone last week during a conference call said that he wants to avoid the drama. He wants to avoid the distractions. If Yannick Ngakoue is on this team, he is going to create that. What's your advice here? What would you do right now with Yannick Ngakoue?
Well, let me just, you know, for the fan that's listening, because you know me, I always try to relate to the fan more than anything. You're not endearing yourself to the fan here in Jacksonville by making some of the statements he's made. You know, people say, well, that's a negotiating tactic. Well, maybe, but that's not a real wise one. If you're really trying to stay in a city where, you know, the fan base is pretty resilient. But, you know, people got to understand, you know, when I came into the league in 1993 was when we had our first collective bargaining agreement, which made things a lot better for the players in terms of their ability to be free agents, the amount of money that they were paid. And that's only gotten better over the years. So the players in today's age have a pretty good gig going on. At the same time, the owners and the organization should still be able to apply the rules that apply to them and how they treat the players. I honestly think you and Pete Prisco made the comment recently about, you know, we can't have this as our mantra here in Jacksonville where disgruntled players are just getting a pass to move on.
Right.
Based on people like yourself, I have not had any interaction with Yannick Ngakoue like you have. But from what I've heard from you is that he's always handled himself very professionally. Now, the tweet, whatever. But I got to believe if you hold them to another year here, what's he going to do? Is he going to go out and not play and put himself even more behind the eight ball? I mean, it's my understanding that the defensive ends aren't necessarily getting what they think the market should be bearing for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, he's going to make $17.8 million. That's more than $1 million per game. This guy doesn't have the stashed away cash that Le'Veon Bell had, that Trent Williams had, two players who sat out seasons. I mean, he made just over $2 million last year, which to most of our listeners is a tremendous amount of money. But it's not to, you know, an NFL player who believes he's the very best at what he does. I don't think he's in a position, Greg, where he can leave that money there. He can't sit out a year. He has to play for the Jaguars.
I agree, and I think that coupled with who he is on the inside, I think that's that would come out. I really would have a hard time believing that he wouldn't lay it all out on the field every game because of just being a competitor and increasing, you know, your book of business. I say book of business. Your portfolio is what I should say in terms of your play to attract other teams in the future. So, interesting times.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, Greg, one more time, Advanced Disposal, hiring right now, whether you have a CDL, driver's license, immediate work to drive a truck, other positions available. Best advice is to go to advanceddisposal.com/careers.
That's it, Rick. You're my hero. You're the truth teller. You never tell a lie. So keep up the good work, my friend.
Greg Huntington, we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
There he goes, one of the original 10. Jacksonville Jaguars, the pride of Penn State. Greg Huntington, who had a good short game the other day. I was pleasantly surprised. Usually those big guys, you know, they grip it, but, you know, their finesse style around the greens, maybe not as good. You know, they raise the cups now because they don't want you touching your hand inside the golf hole, and you can be a little bit more daring now on long putts because if it hits the cylinder, depending on who you're playing with, I know there's different rules. You can maybe measure it inside, you know, the leather of your putter. If you're playing for money, we weren't playing for money. I never play for money, but I'm sure there are different rules for different people, but it's really different. The Corona style of golf, that's going on right now. It's different, but it's still, I think, important, especially for those who are a little bit longer in the tooth. Get some exercise. Get on out there. It was an unbelievable week here this past week. The temperature was beautiful. A couple of days are like in the low 70s. Others in the very high 70s, low 80s. Just phenomenal. But anyway, Greg Huntington, thank you. One of our proud sponsors here. He is with Advanced Disposal. He is also one of the 10 original Jacksonville Jaguars. Since I missed last week, I do want to stay with that. I want to come back on Yannick Ngakoue a little bit. I was really interested to listen to the comments that AJ Boye made about what happened to this football team after Jalen Ramsey. And then it really applies to what Huntington just mentioned and what a buddy of mine, Pete Prisco, said last week here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. What type of message are you sending to this team that if for every guy who's disgruntled, you move them? Boy, that's tough to get over. I thought the negativity of the organization, particularly with incoming free agents, kind of left with Tom Coughlin. But this Yannick Ngakoue situation now, all of a sudden, is not on Coughlin, because he's no longer here. Even though that's where the angst came, can Dave Caldwell and this organization save it, or is it already gone? So let's get into that. We'll do that during our second hour. Glad to have you with us right here tonight on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I'm Rick Pullitt.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by the Blue Crab Crab House. They are off today, back at it tomorrow. Doors open at 4:30. Remember, you can order and pick up. That includes alcohol on Tuesday. $1 margaritas, $5 pitchers of margaritas. Go to thebluecrabcrabhouse.com. Check out the menu, incredible seafood, non-seafood items on there as well. If you're with someone in the family or whomever that doesn't want seafood, and it's right there on Julington Creek Road. All right, if you're coming down San Jose, bam, take the right. It's right there. Can't miss it. A couple hundred yards on your left. And the phone number is 260-CRAB. That is 260-2722. All right. My name is Rick Ballew. I was out a week. I am back. I missed out on a lot of this Yannick Ngakoue talk. you know, for starters, I understand that he's negotiating through the media, and that's allowed. I've heard a lot of people comment on the fact that he shouldn't be doing that now because the world is in a pandemic. I don't think that that has any bearing on what he is trying to accomplish. The feeding of the family comment, however, is a little absurd. The timing of that is terrible. I mean, you got so many folks losing their jobs. You have so many folks right now that are living paycheck to paycheck. And I'm just disappointed because it's been a 180 for him. Again, I did a show with him 2 years ago. Myself and T-Wig and Joe Cowart. He is a very intense guy, but he's a very respectful guy. And what you see is what you get. Now, I've seen a lot of things as a sideline reporter, many of which I don't report on. Again, rule number one with my job is to report what I see, not what I hear. I got news for you. I do hear. And I don't report. I abide by the rule, the NFL rule. But he's handling this now the wrong way to take it to that extreme. And what I'm trying to figure out is, why is it unfixable? That's the main question that I have. Why is this unfixable? If this was Tom Coughlin's fault, and our understanding is that it was Tom Coughlin's fault. Albert Breer, who's a frequent guest here on the program, Monday Morning Quarterback on Sports Illustrated. I'll have Albert on again in the very near future. Is the one who told us that it was Coughlin who broke off the talks last year. I mean, you know, he exercised an 11-day holdout. Coughlin's gone. Dave Caldwell not only doubled down, he tripled down. The number one priority of this organization, according to Dave Caldwell, during the New Year's Eve presser, was what? Re-sign Yannick Ngakoue. He said it again during Senior Bowl week. Marrone as well, when asked. I mean, Caldwell and Marrone are very transparent. He said it again during the NFL Combine. You go back to John Osher's piece. And Osher will join me Wednesday at 8, as he does each and every week, senior writer from Jaguars.com, stating that, and I'm paraphrasing now, but it is quoted in Osher's story, and all you got to do is Google it. Virtually easy to get a deal done with Yannick Ngakoue. Now, it did say it would take some time, these quotes from Dave Caldwell. What happened? Was there total lack of communication? Was this a blindside to Dave Caldwell? Did Yannick Ngakoue have a change of heart? I don't know the answer to those questions. I have reached out to Yannick's agent. He has refused on many occasions to respond to me. I would love to talk with him, whether it's one-on-one or certainly more than anything on the radio, and no. No response from Yannick himself. He's taking it upon himself to do everything, at least to this point, with his tweets that are usually a word or two. I mean, if his tweets are four or five words, that's like lengthy. Very entertaining, but we've seen kind of the dark side of all this with Yannick Ngakoue. And that's what troubles me. Jacksonville is in a very difficult situation. And Pete Prisco made this point last week. All right? He was on, as he is each and every week, with Frangie and company. And Prisco, with CBS Sports, had this to say about the Jaguars if, in fact, they move Yannick Ngakoue.
a high one and an extra another pick would get it done, or two middle of the road ones. This is a bad look for an organization to continue to trade disgruntled players.
It's a very good point. Now, where's the sample size? Jalen, massive sample size. I'm trying to think if there was anyone else. They released Carlos Hyde. He was a turd. He wouldn't even go in Nashville that night. What a bad guy he ended up being. Now, who else was disgruntled? The other moves that they've made. Dante Fowler, again, you can shine up the turd. You can sterilize, cleanse, and disinfect the turd. It's still a turd. Dante Fowler's a turd. Yannick Ngakoue's not. Jalen Ramsey faked an injury. Yannick Ngakoue is a different specimen here. Different individual. 7370 says, Ballou, I love you, man. I love you, too. Yes, Yannick will sign the tag, but he will have a back injury like Jalen and sit out the first 4 or 5 games until the Jags trade him, and we will miss out on a very good draft pick this year. Please comment. He will do that if we have to trade him for a good pick, a second, say, $4 or $5 million of this salary, if need be. We do not have the leverage. He does. He learned that trick from Jalen, and we can't afford to take a chance on him doing that. That is freaking scary. And it is so incredibly unprofessional. It's so gutless. It's so yellow belly. And it's so Jalen. I want to be able to respond to that and say, there's way too much pride in Yannick Ngakoue, and he would not do that. But I don't know the answer to that equation. I don't know how you can fight that. I mean, Jalen, I really thought the back injury week one with Jalen was legit. Week two, I was kind of wish. By the time you got to week three, I mean, come on. Jalen Ramsey's been hurt in his career. Jalen Ramsey was a monster, a physical freak at corner. He played injured at Florida State. He played injured here. And then he sat out for 3 weeks because he wanted to trade. It was awful. So all of a sudden, where are you at as an organization? The Jags have tremendous capital, 12 draft picks. Do you, based on making a statement, and I remember saying this from December on, in my opinion, the statement was re-sign one of your own. They haven't re-signed a lot of their own. Okay, they've re-signed Brandon Linder. They've re-signed A.J. Cann. They re-signed Miles Jack. They re-signed Marquise Lee. There's not a lot of guys that they've re-signed. And there's not like there's a long list of players right now when you look at the roster where you say, they got to re-sign these guys. Are they going to re-sign Leonard Fournette? And again, I'm a huge Fournette supporter. I think this is it for Leonard Fournette. The going rate for tailbacks is too much. You can't give Leonard Fournette the average of the top 5 paid players at the running back position. He may want more. He may want to be the top back. I can't pay him that. The guy's never been healthy for a 16-game schedule. Is Taven Bryan looking like a guy that you're going to re-sign here as a first-rounder? Is Cam Robinson looking like a guy right now in a contract year that you're going to re-sign as a second-rounder? So there's not like there's a long list of players that, like, well, you got to save money for this guy. You got to save money for that guy. That's not the concern. I mean, the money you're going to be spending, and you have huge dead money this year. What is it? Second in the NFL behind only Carolina. That's going to be freed up in a year. You can have a ton of money under the 2021 salary cap landscape. Tremendous amounts of money. You're going to be able to use that for free agency, but I don't think you're going to be using that to re-sign any of your current players outside of possibly Yannick Ngakoue. So where do you draw the line here? How important is this to the organization? The 2 second-round picks for the New York Giants sounds pretty attractive to me, including the 34th pick this year. But I've always been on record as saying I believe he's going to play. All right, let me hit this post. I've overshot it. Let's come back. Let's do more on this. We'll get your input on it. 641-1010 on the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures. 641-1010 on Yannick Ngakoue. And again, I know this is somewhat old hat, but I missed last week. And I think it's very important within the city. So I just want to get my opinion on it. But I want to offer up you an opportunity to voice yours as well. 641-1010, also on Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, 7:21. We go till 8 tonight. Sports Den takes over then. Yannick Ngakoue asking out, doing everything he can to force himself away from the Jags. But it really creates more of a situation than just Yannick Ngakoue individually speaking. It sets a tone for the organization. Well, the understanding is that the Jalen problem was Coughlin. We don't know that. That's the understanding. We weren't in the room. I don't know who was in the room. I've heard this and I've heard that. I don't know if I believe this or I believe that. But the problem was Coughlin. That's what we were told. I don't know that that's 100% correct. I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows outside of the parties of Coughlin, Caldwell, and Ramsey. I mean, who else could have been in the room? Marone? Shad Khan? Tony Khan? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know what happened here with Ngakoue. But I mean, let's face it. The organization got thrown a curveball by his stance that he is now taking because, as I said a few moments ago, all you have to do is go back to Dave Caldwell's comments during the New Year's Eve presser when it was announced that he and Marone were returning, Senior Bowl week when he was interviewed again, then during the combine. And, you know, I thought they did a wonderful job creating interest in Nick Foles. I really believe that. I mean, there's no way that I thought they would be able to get a fourth-round draft pick for Nick Foles. And I'm not calling out colleagues of mine, but if people are selling you on that and they knew that all along, whatever. I mean, I remember the Brock Osweiler talk. I remember how much you're going to have to give up to get someone to take Nick Foles. Saying that you're wrong sometimes is a good thing. I was totally wrong on Nick Foles. I thought he did a great job. Open quarterback competition. I mean, people were like, what? How can you go to Nick Foles after what Minshew did? Well, did they play a little cat and mouse game? Was there a little bit of some, you know, gamemanship involved, which created a trade in a fourth-round pick? The Ngakoue situation, I don't think this is part of their strategy. Maybe wrong, but I don't think Dave Caldwell coming out saying, yeah, we're going to get this deal done. It's our top priority. Will that force a better draft pick? Will that force a first-round pick? Remember, he is an exclusive franchise player. The asking price is two first-round draft picks. They got two first-round draft picks and a third-round pick for Jalen Ramsey. Are you going to be able to get the same type of deal for Yannick Ngakoue? I'd be beyond shocked. Only because he, you know, gets you eight sacks, eight and a half sacks, whatever. He's not getting you double-digit sacks. He's a very good football player, and I hope the Jaguars keep him. But I don't know if you're going to be able to get that in return. He's not Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey is considered arguably the best cornerback in the NFL. Yannick Ngakoue is not considered the best pass rush defensive end in the NFL. He's just not. But what tone does it say for this organization if Caldwell trades him? That becomes another disgruntled player. As Prisco pointed out, the organization moves him. Do you make a statement and say, we're giving you more than $1 million a game, $17.8 million. Deal with it. Get in here and play. It's risky either way. Doug Marrone doesn't want distractions. Doug Marrone doesn't want drama. Yannick Ngakoue is going to bring that. Even if he says no comment, the media is going to ask. They're going to ask his teammates. It becomes a distraction for other players. The 3525 says, Ballou, in your opinion, did the Jags do Yannick wrong? That is a very difficult question to answer. He fulfilled his 4 years during his rookie contract. He wanted to get paid last year. Jalen wanted to get paid last year. I'm still shocked that this organization paid Miles Jack and didn't pay Jalen. Although I understand that Jalen had 2 years remaining because as a first-round draft pick, they exercised the team option and picked up his fifth year. You can only do that with first-rounders. Miles Jack was not a first-rounder. Yannick Ngakoue is not a first-rounder. In my opinion, Yannick Ngakoue, because of the position that he plays, is more important to this organization than Miles Jack, who's getting ready to play his third different linebacker position since he's been here with the addition of Joe Schobert. That is a rule that you can take advantage of. Make them play through their rookie contract. Did they do him wrong? Man, that's a six-pack. That's a six-pack, maybe a shot of Irish whiskey in my belly. Serious thought. Out of everything that I have done when it comes to discussing Yannick Ngakoue, I've never looked at it that way. In your opinion, did the Jags do Yannick wrong? I would say no up until Miles got the bag. Why did Miles get the bag? And listen, I like Miles. But, you know? Now, it's going to be more expensive for Yannick. He's asking for more. Very hard question to answer because, and I'm going to be a coward here and take the easy way out. Albert Breer, and again, he's coming on the show soon, is the one who said Coughlin is the man who ended negotiations when he did, that he put his foot down. I don't know what went into it. There was a, you know, Tom Pelissero had the tweet. And what was the money? Pelissero said that Yannick Ngakoue, this is a tweet from, see, I save stuff here because I know I'm going to go back to it. Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network on July 24th, 2019, said the Jaguars offered Yannick Ngakoue a short-term deal, $19 million per year, $50 million plus over the first 2 years before talks broke off. $19 million a year. that was his terms. Is that fair to you? Now, what we don't know about that, and my understanding was that he would have to play that year for $2 million. The 2 years would be the 2 years after the fact. It would be this year, 2020, and it would be the 2021 year, and it would be a three-year deal overall. I don't know. I didn't see the way that the contract was written. I've heard the other side of it, that no, it would have ripped up the $2 million for 2019, and it would have immediately come into play, the $19 million for 2019 and the $19 million for 2020. Again, I've heard people talk out of both sides of their mouth with this, and I don't know the answer. It's being honest with you. But is that fair? So, as I admitted, I'm kind of taking the easy way out on this. I don't know what went into it. I don't think the Jaguars did Unique wrong, because I think they offered him what they felt was a very good contract, and I just gave you the money. The thing that hurts, though, is that Miles Jack got that contract, because in my pecking order, it was Unique first, because he was coming up on his final year. It was Jalen second, because he is by far the best of the three. But again, you had 2 years left. You had 2 years left as far as length with Jalen. And you have to take that into consideration. And then Miles Jack was absolutely third for me. Nothing against Miles. It's a position that he plays, or positions that he plays. I mean, you got to be a superstar linebacker to step up and take that money ahead of the two most important positions on any defense, a shutdown cover corner and a pass rush defensive end. Instead, you got a linebacker here who's gone from, you know, strong side to inside to middle to now weak side. And I know inside and middle is the same, but you follow my point. So, hard to answer. Hey, Baloo, I think you've been on vacation for too long. Trading Unique for 2 second-round picks is ludicrous. Maybe you want in two. Make them show us and Jan how bad they want him. Give up that number four. You're right. I have been on vacation for too long. It's great to be back to have to deal with brutal questions like that. I'm kidding. I don't think you're going to be able to fetch that. I don't think you can get that for him. Now, listen, I've read every mock draft possibility. I saw the CBS Sportsline one that came out, or whatever one it was, that, you know, trade out and get Justin Herbert. I just don't think you can get that for Unique Ngakoue. It's a twofold situation. Not only are you giving up, as this particular texter said, the fourth pick in the draft, but a second-round pick, which would be the 36th pick in the draft, and you got to turn around and pay Unique Ngakoue what he wants. You're not going to let him come in, give up that capital, and let him play out this year on a franchise tag. You're going to have to keep him happy. So you're going to have to sign him to a 3 or 4 year contract extension at apparently top rate. I don't see it. I think Unique Ngakoue is going to play this season with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I really believe, and it's by the slightest margin, I think that is going to happen. Now, if it's the offer that this last texter just said, you know, the fourth pick in the draft from the Giants, and the 36th pick, how can you say no to that? Well, others would say, well, I want I want a first rounder this year and a future first rounder. If the Giants were willing to give that, but I haven't seen that. The report that I read was a second rounder this year and a second rounder next year. Big difference there. All right, let's come back and do this. I want to do some news and notes tonight, maybe an abbreviated edition, but I mean, I'm getting a ton of reaction now that President Trump is all done for the night. I have noticed a major spike in our attendance. This is amazing. It's hey, I mean, why would actually, I won't even say that. I'm going to watch when I get home. But what is Trump saying that is more important than me talking about Yannick Ngakoue and whether or not he resigns here?
Rick comes back from vacation, and this is how you repay him,
yeah,
guys?
The president's talking and answering all these questions. I'm just kidding. I know we're dealing with a serious situation. I'm going to watch it myself later on tonight, get the very latest. I also kind of enjoy when he picks on the media. I just kind of happen to think it's kind of hilarious. All right, let's come back, get to more of your response on this. Yannick Ngakoue, what are the Jags going to do? Right here with Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Let's go into the night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, I'm not going to go through news and notes tonight because there's too much going on. Here with my question on Yannick Ngakoue, I will tell you, though, that truckcrashlaw.com, based right here in Jacksonville, I mean, with everything that's going on, please drive safe. I was still pretty ticked off today. Some lady almost swerved into me, which if you swerve into me in my truck, you're going to damage the hell out of your car. Okay, I got a big monster truck. My truck's on steroids. But, you know, she's looking at her phone and she's veering. And I love being on the horn. And they look at me like I'm, you know, the a-hole. No, you are. You're the one who's veering. And you're the one who's texting. Are you going to kill yourself? Are you going to kill someone else? And it's awful. So if something like that happens out on the road and someone gets injured, and it happens because of a truck or a tractor trailer, an RV, a bus, something big like that, make sure their family is aware of the name truckcrashlaw.com. They're the only people in the state who does this full-time. They're based right here in Jacksonville. Joe Cameron Engel is a real good man. I hope you don't ever have to use them. I hope you don't ever have to call them because I hope there isn't an injury. But it happens. God, I can't believe it. Everything that is going on, people are still driving that way. It's just asinine. I do want to mention one story. Al Kaline died today at the age of 85. Mr. Tiger. 22 years in Detroit. We just don't see it anymore. Phenomenal player back in the 60s and 70s. Man retired with 3,007 hits, 399 career homers. I think there's only five players in the history of the game with more than 3,000 hits and 400 homers. And he spent 22 years in Detroit. Guy won 10 gold gloves, okay? 18 all-star game appearances. 1,583 ribbies, career batting average of .297. I mean, he just did it all, and he has passed today at the age of 85. The other big story that came out today is finally an announcement on a sporting event, golf, the PGA Tour. It returns in mid-June, the Memorial. There'll be no fans. We know that the British Open has been canceled, but some other announcements today. The PGA Championship will be played on August 6th. The United States Open will be played on September 17th, or the week of September 17th. The Masters, which is supposed to begin this week. You know, par 3 day on Wednesday, caddy day, everything else, first round coverage Thursday. It'll be the week of November 9th. So I love this. The fact that there is some announcements being made, and I hope that the NBA and the NHL and Major League Baseball are next. And I got to believe the target date is June. Mid-June, I hope. You know, let's get back out there. I imagine you're going to have to do this without fans. President Trump did say over the weekend that he believes the NFL is going to begin on time. And that's very good news. No doubt about it. All right, final thoughts here on Yannick Ngakoue. This is from the 1721 Blue. You've got to get Unique out of here as soon as possible. He is infected with the Jalen Diva BS. Need to purge all of it. Yeah, I mean, there's many people out there who feel the way that you do. But Prisco's point is an accurate one. What does it say about the organization if every man who complains and wants out, the organization moves them? And you're moving your best players or your better players. In the case of Ramsey, he was your best player. And Ngakoue certainly is one of your better players. So it's a difficult process to be a part of. Ballou from the 2381, you have to consider the cap they were under. Yeah, I did. Absolutely. I follow the cap religiously. Still really surprised that Miles was the guy who got the money over Unique at that point. And Jalen, even though I understand that Jalen had 2 years remaining. To me, you know, that was a surprise. Very surprised. I'm not going to back away from that. This guy asked me, is Trevor Lawrence better than Herbert, better than Justin Herbert? Who knows? I mean, gosh, I mean, they're wrong all the time with this stuff. And right now, Trevor Lawrence, you know, you're kind of getting the feeling that this is like the best quarterback prospect to come out since Andrew Luck. And I'm saying that with the knowledge that Burrow is going to be the top pick in the draft. You know, I think if Lawrence was available to come out this year, he'd be ahead of him. And certainly next year, with an opportunity to get that much better, he could grow. But, I mean, to sit right here and pound the table and say that, is Trevor Lawrence going to be better than Justin Herbert? Who knows? We have no idea. I mean, you look at all the first-round misses. You want a great exercise, and I do it often. No, not sit-ups, not pull-ups, none of that. Don't look at me, RJ, like I'm giving you a tip. It's just we spend so much time on these mock drafts. Look back on drafts. Look back on the misses. I mean, if you could do now, you know, what you did then, it is unbelievable. Seriously, this pull back the Unique Ngakoue draft. Go back 5 years ago. Or I guess 4 years ago. He's played 4 years, coming up on the fifth year. But look at that draft class. And look at some of the players, even at the position that Ngakoue plays. But look what happened ahead of him in the first and second round. It's not a perfect science. And by the way, they're a lot more accurate in the NFL than they are in Major League Baseball. I mean, for the most part, in the high end of the first round, you're getting yourself some really good football players. Major League Baseball misses all the time. Now, there's a much wider range of where to draft. You have high school, you have junior college, you have the explosion internationally speaking, and that has grown and grown and grown over the last decade plus from the Dominican Republic and Venezuela and Cuba. And I mean, that's making up now probably 30% of Major League Baseball, maybe more. So a much deeper pool where, as in football, you know, you're getting everything from the college game, 100% of your talent from from college. Anyway, good stuff there. Appreciate all of you being with us. Good to have my first show back, and we got much more to get into this week. It's here, whether you're ready or not, the NFL draft, 2.5 weeks away.
Now, the 2-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Craving queso? Get a free kids meal with your order, plus free delivery. Order in the app or online at Moe's.com.
All right, Denny Thompson is here. It's time for the Sports Den.
Can I be honest with you about something?
What's that?
I was kind of hoping you would retire. Yeah. I like you, but I got used to getting out of here at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, give me a couple more years, man. I'm not ready yet. you know.
We were close to starting a rumor about you just to see if we could get you, you know, demoted down to our slot, but.
Well, there's enough of those already out there.
Yeah, we couldn't think of one good
enough.
Give
me some ideas. What were the rumors?
We couldn't think of any. Like, the problem wasn't you. The problem was, I think, more us. Like, I don't know that we're deserving of the primetime spot that you have, Rick. But I got really, jealous of it.
I didn't know this was primetime.
6 o'clock?
Yeah.
6 o'clock's golden, man.
Okay. I'm a fan. I love it.
I'm a fan.
I love it.
I may or may not have put your resume out to other markets without you knowing.
You didn't hear about my lifetime contract extension here? At 1010XL and 92.5?
I guess I'll have to try that with somebody else then.
I didn't tell you that I bought a house last week.
Did you?
Whatever.
Did you play some golf?
Yeah, I played some golf. Had some fun. How about you? You got busy. Every time I see you, you got things going on with quarterbacks.
Yeah, we had to shut it down, you know, late last week. But we got as many in as we possibly could. And now, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, man. I'm just kind of coming in here. It's like, I'm a worker, Rick. I like to work. Like, I love to wake up and go to work.
Yeah.
It's my hobby.
I'm with you. Yeah.
And now
I can't imagine life without work.
And now it's just like, what am I doing sitting at home?
That's why you told me to retire, do whatever. I literally never take the time off that I am supposed to take off.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It's good for
some do, some don't. I enjoy work. I mean, especially when you're doing this. But yeah. I know you also, you know, have.
No, both of them are my dream jobs. I mean, literally, if you'd have told me, you know, a decade ago, this is where I'd be, I'd have been like, really?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, But it's good for us. I think it's good for a lot of people, man. I mean, slow down a little bit. It's not a bad thing. But, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about that. I was listening to you coming in. That Ngakoue situation, like we all assumed, and James and I talked a little bit about this, that Coughlin was the issue. Can we rule out Marrone? Because all of them have said how much they like Marrone.
Yes.
Does Caldwell have enough power to be an issue?
Don't know the answer to that question.
There's only one guy left.
Albert Breer, who's pretty connected,
mm-hmm.
you know, did write that Coughlin was the one who ended negotiations last year. And the most confusing point to me on this, Danny, is not once, not twice, but three times Caldwell said it was a number one priority, mm-hmm. and including in the article with John Osher, he said he thought it would take some time, but it would be relatively easily they would be able to get this deal done. Why would Dave Caldwell double down, triple down, three different times come out and say, number one priority, and yes, we believe we're going to be able to get this done. If there was a problem, some friction, or whatever, why would he do that?
I don't know, especially after Ngakoue had already said that he didn't want to be here at that point,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know. I don't know anything about this, but I'm just kind of canceling out people. If it's not Caldwell, safe to say it's not Marrone. Very safe, I think. I'm going to say it's fairly safe to say it's not that it wasn't really Coughlin at this mm-hmm. point because it's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it really only lives Khan.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the issue, bro, we got major problems.
Well, with Khan, you know he did everything that he could to try to massage Jalen Ramsey. Never heard of any involvement either way with him and Ngakoue. Even off the record, I have never heard. I'm just trying to figure it out.
I'm trying to figure it out because
it's very confusing.
The one thing that I hate about Ngakoue and Jalen, what they're doing, is if you're going to be so vocal about it on Twitter and through social media, then tell us what the problem is.
Yeah.
If you're going to sit here and, I mean, damn, Jalen's still doing it.
Yeah,
he's
Jaylen's
been gone forever. Like, tell us what your beef is. You never said a name. Tell us a name.
Jalen wanted to end the marriage.
Right.
He was the guy that forced a divorce.
And now
now he's acting like the scorned lover.
Now he won't stop commenting on our Instagram pictures.
It's one thing to be the scorned lover when I was a scorned lover to Jimbo Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jimbo Fisher used Florida State
mm-hmm.
and prostituted himself out. So Florida State fans became the scorned lover. Well, Jimbo's moved on. He never comments. Yep. Jalen did the same thing, but he's the one now that's responding and always, see, I told you guys this and that. I don't know. This is a hard one to figure out.
I just want one of them to have, I don't know, if you're going to be that vocal about it, then be all the way vocal.
Yeah.
Stop sending the cryptic messages. Because it obviously wasn't Coughlin because he's been gone. So what is it?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. But if listen, how hard of a situation is this for the Jaguars as a football team? Doug Marrone last week says he wants no drama. Mm-hmm. He wants everyone on the same page. You know Doug Marrone wants Yannick Ngakoue on his football team, but he didn't want the distraction of the media asking every single day, is Yannick coming back, asking all the players. This. Dave Caldwell, and you look at Prisco's point, and I think it's a very fair one, to Prisco's point that if this becomes another disgruntled player that the Jaguars peddled, and you can maybe put Dante Fowler on the list. I actually thought Fowler was a turd, and he wasn't doing anything anyway. But Jalen's a great football player. He wanted out. They traded him. Yannick Ngakoue is a great football player. He wants out. You trade him. What does that say about the stability of this organization?
Agree, but here's the good news. Name another great football player that they have to worry about.
Well, yeah. I mean, I made that point earlier.
We're out of them.
Yeah.
There's nobody else that has that much leverage unless Josh Allen in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Fournette can't pull this off, Fournette's not going to get a second deal here anyway.
I would be very surprised if they paid him what he is going to want.
But you're right. You're right. It is like the company who always settles lawsuits right away instead of fighting. Mm-hmm. We've heard about that a million times, right?
Yeah.
It is the same thing.
What would you do?
If the rumors are true that you can get a first, then see ya. I'll send the moving company over. I was originally with Ngakoue on all this, but I just can't take the constant. Like, the Jags aren't saying anything about you, dude.
You're literally the only one.
I am, too. You're literally the only one talking, man.
I'm shocked by it. We did a show with him 2 years ago, okay? I've seen him. He is a consummate professional. He is just, he's blown a gasket.
One of the hardest working guys at practice every single day.
No doubt. I'm very surprised. All right, Denny Thompson and company coming up right now, along with James Coleman and JJ. That'll do it for us. Thank you to RJ Saunders. Folks, my name's Rick Ballew. On tomorrow night after Helmets and Heels, Wednesday night after Poker Room Radio, then back at 6 o'clock, both Thursday and Friday. We'll talk then.